night is because when I come to the house of God, there's anticipation, there's expectation. No two services in Life Tabernacle are the same. You never know when God's going to do it, never going to know how He's going to do it, who He's going to use, but you can always be for sure before the final amen gets there, heaven's going to come down. Hell's going to be defeated. Christ is going to be glorified. That's why I like to come to church. Praise the Lord. And it's good to see each of you tonight. Also, I want to add one other announcement to that litany of classifieds there. Brother and Sister O'Rourke, a young evangelist couple, going to be here with us preaching Sunday morning and Sunday night. And we certainly look forward to that. And hear them preach the Word of God to us and challenge us. God's really used a young man in several places that we're familiar with. So it'll be an honor to have him. All right, are you ready for the Word? It's a little weak. Let's try it again. Are you ready for the Word? All right, that's more like it. Going to the sixth chapter of Genesis. If you would turn there. And I concur with Brother Galley. It's such an honor always to see new faces, make new acquaintances in the house of the Lord. Genesis, the sixth chapter, reading 5 down to 8. And God saw, say that with me, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. Everybody say continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowl of the air. And it repenteth me that I have made them. Now this is a unique situation when you find God repenting. The only place I find God repenting is right here. And because man had become such a dismal failure, such a disappointment to such a ambitious creator, and he said, I'm going to destroy man. Thank God for verse 8. Had it not been for verse 8, we wouldn't be here tonight. It was concluded in verse 7, it's going to be a clean slate. I repented, I wish I'd never made them. I'm going to wipe it all out. But somehow, right in the middle of the utterance and rhetoric of judgment, because of the wickedness of man, grace made a way for somebody. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wickedness is in the world today, but I want you to know grace still works. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you tonight from this subject, empowered. Everybody say empowered by grace. This is the final lesson of a series that I taught on grace here a few months ago, whenever it was, I don't remember. But I wanted, felt led in the Holy Ghost to add this one to it. And we say it again, we are empowered by His grace. Now, if you would put your Bibles down, please. Father, we know which cometh our help. Our help cometh in the name of the Lord. Let our ears be open to your utterance tonight. Let our minds be open to understand. Our hearts, dear God, be courageous enough to accept what thus saith the word of the Lord. Help us tonight. I want the weak to be strong. I want the struggling, dear God, to find security in you, because you will never let go. Bless us all, we pray here tonight, spiritually, physically, whatever the needs may be, in Jesus' name. Now would you clap your hands for the Lord and praise Him. grace. God's grace. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. We talked to you on previous lessons about sufficient grace, saving grace. Amen. The various forms that grace operate and move in our life. I love the song Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace was a Christian lyric placed into the musical scores of a worldly song. And when they first started playing it and singing it, a lot of churches wouldn't even allow it to be sang in their church because of the music. But I'm sure enough glad that we made a way for it to come on into the church. Because it became a standard for the Christian church, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I'm glad for the saving grace of God. Amen. The Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. Not of our works, lest any man should boast. But grace is that element, that unmerited favor. But when I think about amazing grace, and this is just me defining it in my life, when I think about saving grace, I think about the time when God brought me out as a 22-year-old young man out of the world of sin into truth. My chances of being saved would probably be one in millions. But God made a way by working through a backslider even to bring me into the place where He could talk to me. To bring me into a church where I could feel the touch of God. Hallelujah. That was grace that did that. Nothing else would have reached its hand out into the darkness I was living in, amen, and bring me in but grace. But when I think of amazing grace, I think about the grace that's kept me saved. Amen. Because when people see you get saved, they think, oh, okay, you know. In the back of their mind, you know, he'll be back in the discos or wherever, you know, the crack house or wherever your God brought you from. He'll be back there by the weekend. But the weekend comes up and you're going to church and they don't find you at the same old place he used to find you. Oh, that's all right. We'll give him a month. A month later, you still ain't showed up. They're coming to you. They're worried about you now. They're talking to your unsaved relatives by now. Saying, I don't know what's going on with him, but you know, I'm concerned about him. Listen, me too. You know, since he went to Life Tabernacle, he ain't been the same. We're awfully concerned about him. See, they weren't concerned about him when he was getting high all the time. They weren't concerned about him when he was going out and partying all weekend long. But they only get concerned when he comes in and says, I ain't drinking no more. I ain't snorting no more. I ain't shooting up no more. Come on. The wife that I got, that's a woman for me now, nobody else's wife. They get worried about you when you begin to change and your life turns around. The Bible says the old things are passed away. Behold, all things become... Somebody shout it. Aren't you glad you didn't have to keep on living the old life, the old ways? Hallelujah. Amen. What a crazy life out there. I just had to hesitate for a moment, Brother Jenkins, and just laugh. How stupid could you be to prefer that? Now 30 days have passed. Well, he won't last 6 months. 6 months pass. He won't make it a year. A year later. It's been over 30 of those years later for me. Hallelujah. There's some older than that here tonight in the Lord. Who is it? How many years, Brother Jenkins? Since 68. I like it that way. Live for God so long, can't even figure it up. Amen. When we get our age, you forget your birth dates and everything. You want to, at least. But you see, saving grace brought us in for that first service. Saving grace got our sins remitted. Saving grace got the name of Jesus applied to our life. Saving grace anointed our carnal and darkened understandings to be able to understand who Jesus was also. But it's been amazing grace, hallelujah, that I've danced with for over 30 years now. Praise God. And when I would stumble and stagger, guess what? My dancing partner would hold me up. And praise God. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Aren't you glad for grace? Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. But I know tonight it was grace that brought me safe thus far. And I know, as sure as I'm standing before you tonight, what kept me yesterday has kept me today. Lord, have mercy. And if God gives me tomorrow, that same grace is going to be there for me. It don't matter what the devil throws at me, grace is on my side. Come on. It don't matter how heavy the world gets on your shoulders. Troubles can come in at every corner. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, grace just reaches down and lifts up a wall, lifts up a standard against it, and says, you can't go no further than that. Come on, we're empowered by grace. We're not here tonight because we're strong. We're not here tonight because we're holy. We're here tonight because God gave grace to us just like He did Noah. I want you to clap your hands and thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my Lord. Praise God. Amen. One songwriter said, when I should feel so sad, why does my heart feel so glad? Why does my soul seem so happy each day? When all around me, somebody help me. When all around me, burdens fall or whatever it is, but I'm not worried at all. That's why I say King Jesus will roll all the burdens away. Grace is going to make sure everything's all right. Praise God. So I am glad tonight for grace. I'm glad for amazing grace. I'm not just preaching to you some friendly sermon tonight. I'm preaching to you something that's going to make the difference whether you're going to stand or fall, whether you're going to live or die, whether you're going to heaven or hell. Amen. Whether you're going to live above sin or you're going to die in sin. What I'm preaching to you tonight is the essential. The fundamental of salvation. You are saved by grace through faith. That settles it. He said, what about being born again in water and spirit? You wouldn't even know what that means if it wasn't for grace showing you. Amen. The Bible says the grace of God has appeared to us all, teaching us. Grace teaches. If it was not for the grace, lady, you wouldn't know how to live. Brother, you wouldn't know how to live. If it was not for grace teaching us, we wouldn't know how to be honest. We wouldn't know how to live holy. Hallelujah. I'm glad for repentance of your sins. I was glad when I cried for the right reason. When I said, Lord, forgive me. But grace somehow taught me that if I would do that, He would. I'm not minimizing the doctrine. I'm glad for water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. It's the only form of baptism in the New Testament church. It's the only name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. When people were baptized, they were not sprinkled. They were not dry cleaned. They were buried, they were submerged in water in the name of Jesus Christ, never in titles. Hallelujah, the baptism was never meant to be representative of a church. It was meant to be representative of a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and His name is Jesus. And I'm glad we see that all the time. See it happen over and over and over. But you would never have that except grace taught you that it's right. I'm glad for the Holy Ghost by evidence of speaking in other tongues. Amen. Jesus said every person that's born of the Spirit, there will be an audible evidence. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit, he said. I'm glad when I got the Holy Ghost, I got it just like they did in second chapter of Acts. I spoke in tongues and magnified God and glorified the Lord, and I'm glad for it. But you know what? If grace hadn't came into my life and taught me that that gift was for me and not just for somebody back there, I'd never know the difference. Hallelujah. I want you to be grateful for grace here tonight. I want you to understand it's not a Baptist doctrine, it's not a Methodist doctrine, it's not a Catholic doctrine, it's not a Pentecostal doctrine. It is a doctrine of salvation to the New Testament. Whatever you call yourself, it's going to take grace to save you. And we often hear the New Testament be referred to as a grace dispensation, and indeed it is. But some people, when they say that, it's almost like they put all God's grace in the past 2,000 years. I grant you that grace has never worked greater than it has in the past 2,000 years. But grace didn't start 2,000 years ago. Grace started in the garden when Adam messed up. Grace came walking along and saying, "Where art thou?" when Adam was naked and sinful and had fallen and was hid in the bushes. Grace was clear back that I just read to you in the days of Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I can't tell you that Noah was a righteous man. I can't tell you he was the most godly man in the world. All I can tell you that when God says, "I'm going to wipe it all out," somehow another grace got the attention of the Lord and it focused right upon Noah and his house. I'm not telling you you're here tonight because you're the most holy and righteous living people in this city. I'm just telling you somehow, somewhere, some way, grace got the attention of God and says, "Him. Him. Her." Praise God. The Bible says there were many lepers in the days of Naaman, but only one was healed. He said there were many widows in that day, but only one got miracles worked for. Brother Hurt, I've heard your testimony so many times, 17 years in a traditional church, 12 years on the deacon board. Amen, hallelujah. Sing Amazing Grace thousands of times through the years, no doubt. But one day somebody came knocking on his door and said, "Let me share something with you." And he began to share with him the plan of salvation in New Testament. Grace said, "Go over that house. Go knock on that door. Go talk to that man." Come on, did you ever wonder why you're here tonight and not the rest of your family? I'm not here because I was the most holy or righteous person in my family. I am here because grace centered and focused the attention of God's mercy and compassion upon me, and I am a recipient of God's glorious grace. Young people, don't you drop your head because you don't act like the world. Young ladies, don't drop your head because you're a virgin. Young men, don't drop your head because you don't know what it is to get high. You young teenagers, you hold your head up high by God and thank the Lord for the grace of God that has kept you, chosen you, and has blessed you. Oh, clap those hands. I feel Jesus coming on. Lord, have mercy. If you think grace is not real in your life, some of you have been around for a while, look at you. High school book. Amen. Look at how many that you graduated with, you went to school with. Where are they at today? If you're my age, they tell me that 50% of the people that were born the same year I was in 1951, they said 50% of those people never saw the age of 50 years old. And I came almost being part of that statistic, as many of y'all remember. But grace said, no. Death angel came in my room to get me. I felt the cold presence of the death angel beside me. I looked at him. I said, I know who you are, and I know why you're here. Then I turned my face toward God, and I said, Lord, if I live to see the sun rise tomorrow, it's going to be up to you. It ain't up to that. Hallelujah. And you know what? The Lord put me to sleep that quickly. And when I woke up about 5 o'clock the next morning, whatever it was, the sun was shining so bright through those blinds coming right across my bed. Death was gone. You know, when death came in, grace came down and said, nope. Woo! Lord have mercy. You see, I didn't have any power over death. The doctor said, you ain't going to live. They told my wife, said, get ready, prepare yourself, because you're going to roll over and find your husband dead in the bed beside you some morning. There's a few times I thought I was going to agree with him. But every time that would come around, I didn't have power over death. But grace empowered me where I didn't have power. Lord. And when death and when disease tried to take me out, grace said, you ain't touching him. You ain't getting him. Lord Jesus, I'm not through with him yet. You ain't getting him. I don't care how strong death is. Grace is more powerful. I don't care how strong cancer is. Death, grace is more powerful. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Trials and tribulation, temptations and allurements come at us on every side, but hang in there. My grace is sufficient. He said, my grace is sufficient. Just hang in there. Hold on. Everything's going to be all right. Some of you going through your test tonight, going through your trial, going through your problems. That problem's so much bigger than you. Amen. But grace says, look at that mountain. Hallelujah. Look at it and speak to it. Don't have dialogue. Make it a monologue, not a dialogue. Stand there before that mountain and speak to it. Don't let it talk to you. Hallelujah, you're only 5'8". That mountain is thousands feet high. You look like a little speck in comparison. It don't matter how big it is. Grace is bigger than that. Just speak to the mountain and say, be thou removed in the name of Jesus. He said it's going to have to be done. Not because of me, but because of grace. Yeah. Let's look at this scripture here tonight. This text we read, and God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. God saw. Say that with me. And God saw. I want you to know God's not blind, folks. We might be blind, and oft times we are, but God's never blind. People can slip around and do this, and slip around and do that, and maybe the ones that they're closely connected to, they don't know anything about what's going on the job or in the school or whatever. But let me tell you, the eyes of the one of who I'm preaching for here tonight, my boss and father, your boss and father. Hallelujah. There ain't no hiding place down here. Are you hearing me? There ain't no hiding place down here. The things that are done in the secret places will be screamed and cried from the rooftops. Be manifest in that day. The Bible says God saw. The first thing humanity needs to understand, God is watching. You ain't catching that. God is watching. You're afraid the pastor's going to show up. You're afraid the youth pastor's going to show up. You're afraid, you know, of this. You're afraid your wife's going to see you. You're afraid somebody else is going to hear you on the telephone. No, that ain't who you got to be afraid of. And I'll just serve you a little notice tonight. Even those people, you ain't going to hide your stuff from them very long. If you don't believe that, ask Bill Clinton. There's some things you just can't hide forever. But in all of that, and all the things we try to get stealth with, you know, we don't want to get out in the open, and all of that, hey, there ain't no hiding place. No, you could go to the deepest, darkest dungeon, nobody else there but you. You could walk out in the darkest night when you can't see your hand before you. But the Bible says the darkness is as light to the eyes of the Lord. God saw. When Adam and Eve messed up in the garden, God saw. The things that are going on in the world today, over 4,000 babies slaughtered before they're born, God keeps the number. God keeps tabs. God sees what's going on. When homosexuality is promoted to the heights of the heavens, when the sole purpose, from my understanding of the TV stations today and the program, is to promote homosexuality. When they get the foul-mouthed Elton John. Oh, Brother Adams, I like his song. He's wrote some songs I like. They don't make me like him. I got major issues with that dude. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Michael Jackson. Major issues. So I don't believe he did it. Whether he did or whether he didn't, I can look at him and tell you I got major issues with that dude. Somebody said only in America can a young black boy grow up to be a white woman. I got some major issues with what's going on in the land today. When the unisexuality is being promoted, women want to walk around in gun boots, walk like a drill sergeant. When you got men tiptoeing through the tulips, I've got problems in the society with like that. That's a generation that you and I presently live in. But let me report to you tonight, God sees. When they're taking prayer out of the schools, when they're taking Bible out of the classrooms, when they're bringing Satan worship, when they're bringing people like the man in Colorado, professor, and said the people that died in 9/11, they were nothing but a bunch of terrorists and ought to die. Hey, God's watching all of this, friend. When they're wanting to take in God We Trust off the currency, God's watching. When you hear liars in D.C., that would tell anything and do anything just to keep their position. Amen. My gracious, John Kerry must have ate jumping beans. Never saw a man jump so many different directions in my life. He believed this today and that tomorrow and that today. They asked Mr. Bush one time, the president, about debating John Kerry. He said, I think I'll just let John Kerry debate John Kerry. You know, because every day you believe something else. And lying and being untruthful to the masses don't bother them at all. You know, as long as they can reach out and touch MTV, the crowd. As long as they can reach out and touch these perverts. Are you hearing me? Amen. But God sees. God sees. I know that America was founded by the grace of God. We have fed the world. We have liberated the world. And still are liberating the world and feeding the world. Amen. One moment the world says they don't want anything to do with us, and then the disaster hits and they start telling us how stingy we are. There never has been anybody that's fed more people than we have, and never been anybody who will ever liberate more people than America. We have been blessed because we have been a people of compassion, a people of understanding. Amen. A people who cared about others and was willing to share themselves with others and the less privileged. But somehow or another in the past 50 years, America has drifted so far from the shores of our founding fathers. One nation under God. I don't think America is under God anymore. I think too many in America want to become God. The church pews are emptying out in America, in North America, U.S. and Canada. Over 12,000 people a week, they say, will leave the church and never come back. At the same time, you've got every kind of guru, Eastern guru, Asian monks and everything else that come to America, and everybody from Hollywood and all wants to pour out to them. They're wanting to get caught up in all this kind of nonsense, but when it comes to truth and righteousness, this is one of the big reasons our president's hated so badly. He's a man that loves his wife, not everybody else's. He's a man that believes in prayer. He believes in godly principles. Amen. And I thank the Lord for that. I want to see him appoint a lot of judges with some backbone. And not only backbone, I want something between the ears beside air. Because that's what's turning, after years of appointing liberal judges, that's what's destroying America today. It's not the vote of the people. It's these appellate judges, these jurists that get in there and they interpret the Constitution to fit the way they want it. That's why you have abortion. I don't want to make a political speech here tonight. I'm just trying to tell you America has drifted so far from God, and God sees. Are you hearing me? The Bible says every nation will be brought down to hell that forsakes God. And as she drifts farther and farther, one of these days God's going to look down just like he did in the days of Noah and said, that's enough. That's it. America thinks God don't see. If they even believe that there is a God, they think God is blind. People in churches in America think God's blind. That's why they can molest little boys in dark corners somewhere and cover it up for one another for 50 years before it ever comes out. They think God don't see. God does see. Are you hearing me tonight? Amen. God knows what's going on. People do not have to live that way. They'll tell you, oh, you just got to live that way. There's no strength to get you out of that. Once you're an alcoholic, you're always, you know, my name is John Doe. I'm an alcoholic. I will always be an alcoholic. You know, from these support groups who are over 95% failures, I'm talking NA, AA, between 95 and 99% failures, because they teach you that what you are, you'll always have to be that way. But the Bible says that you don't have to be that way. Scripture says, let him that steals, steal no more. Does that sound good? It also says, flee fornication. Amen. It also says that the thin of it shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's the book, folks. That ain't me talking. That's what the book says. Now, if God said I can't be a thin of it and get to heaven, if God says I can't be an adulterer and get to heaven, I can't be a thief and a liar and get to heaven, then if I'm a thief, liar, and all the above, how am I going to get to heaven? How am I going to be able to change? The Bible says, can a leper change his spots? Can the Ethiopian change the color of his skin? Neither can ye, O people, change yourselves. Lord have mercy, but I have good news to bring tonight. I'm here to boast on grace. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, bring them on to me. Though they be red like crimson, bring them on to me. Grace says, bring it on. Bring on your situation. Bring on your little feminine self. Bring your adulterous self on up here. Bring your lying self on up here. Bring your deceiving self on up here. Let grace get a hold of you. Let the Word get a hold of you. Let the Spirit bring conviction in your life. And when God gets through with you, you are going to be a work of art that He can say, that's what God has done. Praise God. Hallelujah. So God sees everything that's going on. 1 Peter 3:12, it says this. They'll put it on the screen for me, please. Hallelujah. God said, let there be light. That ain't working yet. Let me read it for you. 3:12, 1 Peter. For the eyes of the Lord, everybody say, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You catch that? Come on, He's still got eyes. Yeah, He's still got ears, and He's watching over the righteous, tenderly, compassionately, mercifully watching over the righteous. But those same eyes and same ears and that face of the Lord, it's against them that do evil. God sees both. Do you realize God knows the words you're going to speak before you speak them? And then He captures those words. They tell me that words never die. That when you speak a word, it goes out beyond your hearing, but somewhere in the universe, every word that you speak, it's still out there. And unless it's put under the blood, one day when they stand before a white throne judgment, all these words will be gathered in. Like a huge vacuum cleaner or something. They'll come marching back in before you. And the Bible says we will be judged for every idle word in that day. Now, did you know He also says that every hair of your head is numbered? I'm giving Him a whole lot less problem now than I used to with that one. His brother Ballestero says, every hair on the side of my head is numbered. Amen. That's how much He knows about you. That's how much He understands us. In fact, He said He knows our needs before we ask Him. Somebody say He knows. He sees. He hears. He's very much involved with what's going on in our life. Hallelujah. So, His eyes and His ears are here for the righteous, but the face of the Lord is against them that do wicked. And then Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things, say all things, are naked and open unto the eyes of Him to whom we have to do. Amen. Run a little slow back there tonight. Everything, say everything. All things are naked and open. Unto the eyes of whom we have to do. Ain't nothing hid. No word whispered. no action performed. God sees everything. Every time you falsely accuse a brother or sister, every time you're angry without a cause, every imagination of your thought is manifest to God. Boy, it's getting off quiet now. Hallelujah. A preacher friend of mine some years ago, they had bought some property and some of the people in the church didn't go along with it real well. And they were stirring up some contention like happens occasionally in churches, unfortunately. And this particular pastor friend of mine was in prayer and the Lord let him overhear a phone call. Amen. I know you got private lines today. But you don't have any private line when it comes to God. They were talking on their private line thinking, pastor ain't never going to learn about this. Ain't nobody else going to find out. And in prayer, God allowed this pastor to hear that conversation. And he gets up and tell them what the conversation is. They get mad at the pastor. When we first started pastoring, I think it was in 78, something like that. I believe it was an 8-party line. Was it 8-party? You're talking about interesting. Everybody had a unique ring, so you know it's your ring. How many remember the multi-party lines? There's a few of you. You know, today it's reach out and touch someone. That day it's reach out and touch whole neighborhood. So when the parsonage phone would ring, I would pick it up. Hello? They're not here. Some of y'all too young know what I'm talking about, brother. What that is, another phone picking up. Little old small town USA, you know. They wanting to know who's in trouble, whose kid done got in trouble, who's calling the pastor, and all that kind of stuff. And I had to get up and talk to them about that a little bit. But God don't have to do that. Believe me, when you call, you may be on a private line, but you want him here when God picks up. God done heard what you said before the first word come out. Before it ever went through the lines, God done heard it when it went through your mind. Lord, this is getting too deep for some of us here tonight, ain't it? He sees. Say he sees. In the days of Noah, he saw what was going on, and God will not tolerate wickedness. He will not tolerate evil. He sees what's going on. And God, believe me, by the grace of God and through Jesus Christ, the Lord will finish evil and wickedness one day. He's either going to do it through righteousness or he's going to do it through judgment. With that in mind, 2 Peter, if they go there please, 3, I need you on this one because I don't have these scriptures down. 2 Peter 3, 9 through 13. Hallelujah. Here we are. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Everybody say to us word. Look around you and say to us word. God's long-suffering to us. He don't cut us off. We cut people off quickly, but not God. Not willing that any should perish. If you go to hell, it won't be God's fault. People say, how could a just and merciful God send people to hell to burn forever? He don't. People send themselves to hell. He came by his grace and through the personage of Jesus Christ to get us out of hell, to save us from hell. If we don't take the ticket and get on board, it ain't his fault. He's not willing that any should perish, that all, everybody say all, should come to repentance. 10th verse. 9, 10. Hallelujah. Yes. Somebody say a great noise. The reason it's going to be a great noise, excuse me, Sister Adams. Have mercy, she about to get anointed on here now. Second Peter 3:9-13. But the day of the Lord will come. Everybody say it will come. You can bet everything in this world on it. It will come. And when it comes, it's going to come like a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Everybody say, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to the promise look for new heavens. Everybody say, new heavens. And a new earth. Come and say, new heavens. A new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Either he's going to bring righteousness through salvation to people, or he's going to bring it through judgment. But one of these days, God's going to clear the slate. Sin will be no more. Wrong will be no more. There's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The meek shall inherit the earth. Amen. And everybody that wouldn't listen to his compassion, everybody that resisted his word, everybody that was so busy in their own world, they didn't have time for God. Too busy to live for God. You know, I'm just too tied up to live for God. I'm too much in debt to live for God. I'm just too this to live for God. Go ahead. But by and by, righteousness is coming. Let me just share another little nugget of gold for you. Not only will by and by righteousness is coming, because everything that's unrighteous and will not yield to righteousness will be cast into hell, the Bible says. Forever. Not for a little while, forever. And a new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But before they go to their eternal abode of damnation, they're going to stand before a white throne. The Lord will be on that throne. He will not be there as a Savior like He is tonight. He's going to be there as a judge. And they're going to be judged according to the deeds done in their body and the works done in the flesh. Amen. And the Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. I'm simply saying this tonight. You can come up with 1,000 reasons why you don't want to live for God now. But one of these days, every knee is going to bow. The difference is, you can bow your knee tonight before grace, before compassion, before mercy. Are you hearing me? But if you wait in that day, bowing your knee before Him and crying out that He is Lord and acknowledging Him and His deity, it won't help you then. No, that's only going to bring glory to Him. So see, if you don't bow down to Him now and be saved when you can. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation, and now. Somebody shout now. Is the accepted time. Why? Because He's not willing that any should perish. God wants to save people, folks. He didn't come to Calvary to send people to hell. He came to Calvary to bring people to heaven. Hallelujah. So that's why the urgency of getting this message across. In Romans, the 5th chapter, in verse 20, We're talking about grace empowering us to live for God in ungodly environments. You say, I just can't live for God. My husband, he don't live for God and he gives me trouble. Well, boo-hoo. Amen. I've seen situations like that. Y'all pray for me. My husband's giving me so much trouble. And finally we pray and he comes in and they backslide. We realize he wasn't the one giving them trouble all along. I went to meet a lady, with a member of our church, and I went to meet her husband. We talked, and he made some kind of, I don't know what statement he made, I don't recall. But I remember, with a grin on her face, she made reference to him as being an old sinner. And I could tell it embarrassed him some. So I said, sister, we will never win your husband to God as long as you keep reminding him that he's a sinner. I said it right in front of him. And guess what? We won him to God. Hallelujah. It's amazing what gets going on in these homes if everybody gets prayed through. I better leave that alone. It's getting a little late. I can't live for God because nobody on my job lives for God. I can't live for God because I'm going to college and ain't nobody in my class going to college with me lives for God. What a wonderful opportunity that you have. Now you can sit there and fall into this victim mode if you want to. Or you can realize what a great opportunity you have. They said there was two shoe salesmen, went to remote Africa, found a village where they didn't even wear shoes, went barefooted. One man came back, he said, it won't do any good to build any factories over there to sell shoes because nobody wears shoes. The other man came back and said, I've got great news for you. Get the equipment over here. Let's get the factory going because everybody here needs shoes. It's all in the way you look at it. If you want to be a victim, you're going to be a victim. But I'm telling you, the band was not playing for Noah in that day. Noah was not the hero on planet Earth that day. He was not winning any awards for being the most famous person. He was just a preacher of righteousness in a very ungodly environment, every imagination of their heart to do more evil. How in the world, Noah, could you stand in all of that? Grace. But Noah found grace. How can we stand this ungodly hour that we're living in America? How can we as Christians stand? How can we stand on the job and the school and different places? I tell you how we could stand, by the grace of God. That's why we're here tonight. Let's read about it in Romans 5 and 20. Thank you. Moreover, the law entered and the offenses might abound. Well, let's try it from here. But where sin abound, Virginia, you back in there again? Virginia's in the media room. Forget what I said about caring. Keep us up here. How are we going to live for God when everything's going on around you? When everything is giving in, backing up, parents don't want to be parents, husbands don't want to be the head of the house, women going crazy, kids going crazy, droopy-drawered kids. And the crazy part of it, those kids don't work. Where do they get the money to buy those stupid-looking things? I read today where one city in Virginia, anybody read about it? They catch you if you droop drawers and your underwear showing, they fine you $50. I like that. They got my vote. Amen. One young teenager, he wanted to be like the rest of them, you know, and he'd do all right when he left the house. But he got out the mall and different places, he got pulling them down, you know. Old boxer shorts. And he just strutting his stuff through the mall. He's bad, you know. Kids are britches all hanging down. That's horrible. Where in the world did that ever come in from? It's beyond me. His daddy just happened to walk up in the mall and looked up and saw his boy looking like he's deformed, you know. Got a 5.5-foot torso and a 2-foot leg. Walked up behind him. Pull them britches up for Isaiah, that's it. And this boy didn't know what was going on. He's just walking on down the mall, just being cool as he wanted to be. Daddy came up behind him. He said he took his fingers like that in his back pockets. Right there in front of God, everybody in that mall. He mooned them all right there and turned around to see his daddy's face. His daddy was telling me about it, the presence of the boy. I said, man, that would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? He said, tell me about it. But he got the message. I don't know where in the world droopy drawers came with sin abounding. But I'm sure it had something to do with it. How do you live in such an ungodly society? You know, I looked at something the other day. I'm running out of time, so I'm after her. I looked at something in Kmart the other day. My wife and I was in there, and I just happened to gander over at something they were selling. I said, what is this? She said, that's the new craze that's going on called Bratz. I looked. Of course, they didn't know how to spell it. Bratz. You know. And she said, oh, yeah. I said, Brooklyn, so that's the thing that's going on with the kids now. Bratz. I looked at them. It didn't look like anything I'd want my little girl to look like. You know, when I was a kid and you called somebody a brat, there was a reason for that. Now kids like to buy this stuff called Bratz and take it home to the Bratz. It's amazing what people are wanting today. Is that the truth? It's just crazy what, and these people that's got these pins stuck all over their eyebrows, and I don't even want to go. I ain't got time to go there. You know what I'm talking about. The closest thing I can remember when I was a kid coming to that, when they used to hold the small hogs down and wring their noses. It's the only thing I can. But where sin abounded, are you catching this? Sin is going to abound. I promise you, ma'am, sir, it ain't going to get any better. If you're having trouble with it right now, you really got problems down the way. But I will promise you this. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And when tomorrow gets here, if the devil comes back 10 times stronger than he's ever been at any point in your life, you don't have to worry about a thing. The equalizer is on its way. Where sin does abound, grace does much more. Much more. Much, oh Lord, you ain't catching it. Grace does much more abound. Hallelujah! Sin may be right here, but when grace shows up, it's way up here. Hallelujah! It puts you up looking down on everything else that's trying to destroy you. Empowered. Oh Lord, have mercy. How can we keep on smiling when so many things bring tears? Empowered by grace. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. And God is able. Say that with me. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. You, young, old, teenager, grandmas, grandpas, mom, dads. He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, say always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That's what grace is going to do for you. Grace is going to make everything come together for you and make it work in all sufficiency in all things. I just don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. Hang in there. Grace has got the answer. I don't know what I'm going to do about it. The doctors can't help me with this. Hang in there. Grace has got the solution. I don't know what I'm going to do with my kids. You know, they're a certain age and they don't want to listen to anything. They're rebellious. Hang in there. God's got the solution for you. Grace is going to come your way. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In a generation where all sin and every imagination of their heart was to do evil. In a generation where God looked at humanity and said, I repent of this. But in all of that, grace came. And I want you to know tonight, grace is in this place. As we rush toward the coming of the Lord, and I believe it's very nigh upon us. As we get closer and closer to the appearance of the Lord to receive His church, I want you to know we're going to learn more about what this lesson is trying to teach us tonight. He giveth more grace to the humble. He resisteth the proud, but giveth more grace to the humble. We need the grace of God. Why don't you stand with me right now, please? Let's lift our hands to the Lord and praise Him for His grace tonight. Yeah. Let me enclose by asking this question to you tonight. You know, sometimes we just sum things up in two simple terms, you know, saints or sinners, visitors or church members and all of that. But in reality, as many people as there are here tonight, that's how many different situations they are. You know, you're not struggling what I struggle with, probably. I'm not having to cope with what you're dealing with. In fact, I may not even know what you're dealing with tonight. I don't know what brings tears to your eyes. I don't know what robs you of your sleep when you put your head on the pillow at night. But I do know this. The solution is grace. The solution is God's grace. So many people do not live for God because they fear in their heart they'll make a mistake, that they can't do it. I tell you tonight, I can't either, and no one else can. But by the grace of God, we are empowered to live for Him one day at a time. Sometimes it's just one step at a time. It's not even one day, just one step at a time. But the grace of God is sufficient. And if you wait upon the Lord, you will renew your strength. You will mount up with wings as eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. Because grace is sufficient to you. With our eyes closed, heads bowed tonight, Saints, an attitude of prayer.